Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. Often there are some notes in the bulletin, an outline for you to fill in and follow. And the outline's right here. Now, I've got to get it out to you, so I'd encourage you to maybe take that prayer sheet that's in your bulletin and flip it over, and you're going to see some blank lines. And there should be maybe a brand new pen in front of you in those chairs. And we're going to have a meeting of my mind, your paper, and your pen, and the scriptures this morning. How's that for an assignment for me? But if you'll take that, I've got a few thoughts, and they will be up on the screen, that I would encourage you to write down as we go to them and as we work our way through the passage, all leading up to this wonderful experience at the communion table. Well, we've looked at the passage already. Let me just highlight for you again, verse 22. Jesus was passing from one city and village to another, preaching, teaching, proceeding all the way to Jerusalem. Then he ends up in this conversation with the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees are no friends of Jesus. We're not going to take the time to evaluate their motivation here. What we're going to focus on is Jesus' response and what should be our response in this new year. And they said to him, "Go away from here, Jesus. Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus' response, "Go and tell that fox. I cast out demons, perform cures, and I will reach my goal." I will reach my goal. Well, what is the goal? What is our goal as individuals and as people? Touch on that a little this week, touch on a little next week. There's a story, you may be familiar with it, of a family that hears this knock on the door. And the dad goes to investigate the knock, and there's a little boy there on the other side of the door. And he is obviously selling something. Have you had those knocks on your door? And some kid's selling you an overpriced, undertasty product? Well, the little boy starts in on the conversation. He said, "Good day, sir. My name is Mike, and I'm selling these postcards. They're just 25 cents. How many postcards would you like?" Well, the dad looked at the postcards. They were rather nice postcards, and the price was rather good. But he's curious, what's your motivation? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? What are you raising funds for? And he said, "Well, my church needs a new building. And my goal is to raise $100,000 to build a building, a church building for our church. A church building for Jesus." Now think about that. Get yourself in. What is your response when you hear that? The dad's response probably echoed what's going through our mind right now. You want to raise $100,000 at 25 cents a postcard. Admittedly, they're beautiful postcards. Do the math. How many postcards is that? 400,000. I Googled it. I wanted to make sure because I knew you'd fact check me. Think about that. 400,000 postcards. Great product, great price. That's a lot of merchandise to move, right? Well, the father of the house responded, "You mean to tell me you're trying to raise $100,000 at 25 cents a pop all by yourself?" "Oh, no, sir. I asked my buddy to work the other side of the street. And we figured this way we're going to get twice as much accomplished in half the amount of time. Together, we will get the job done." Now, you think it's absurd in one moment to think of having to do all that work and ask yourself, would I be willing to do that? Now let's, as we think about that, we think about our motivation, let's think about this. If we have a family member who's sick, seriously sick, and the doctors come in and say, "Your family member, your son, your daughter, your parent needs an operation. The operation's costly. We're going to have to fly someone in. It will cost $400,000. You need to raise the money by next week." What's our motivation? And if the only way we had to raise all that money, $400,000 or $100,000, was to sell postcards door to door, 25 cents a pop, but our parent, our child's life is on the line, would we do it? What would our motivation, what would our passion, our energy be with that kind of motivation? What about if the glory of God is on the line? What about just as a thank you gift for God, expending that kind of energy in that kind of way? Would that be worth our effort, worth our energy? There's a lot for us to learn from that little boy as he's selling postcards. He reflects the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever we see the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are reminded that that is the approach that we are to take in life. We must reach the goal. Here's the theological foundation for our study today that I'd encourage you to write down. God is on the throne and his plan is in motion. So I ought to be in motion. God is on the throne in 2019. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's going to be accomplished politically, who's going to succeed athletically, what discoveries will be made, the challenges we will face. But the one thing that is rock solid, certain, and constant is that God is on the throne, his plan is in motion, and therefore I ought to be in motion regarding his plan. What do we learn from our postcard selling young men? What do we learn from the life of Jesus Christ? Three thoughts that I want to also encourage you to write down. Number one, slide number two. There is God work to be done this year. God work that can be done, that I can do and that I must do. You see that in the perspective of the little boy. You see that in the activity of the Lord Jesus Christ, his mindset. And that's a pretty good mindset on which to build our life in this next year. There is God work to be done that I can and must do. As you write that down, I want to keep your mind going. Little Mikey, the guy selling postcards, understood, or his perspective is that it wasn't his job to do it all, but he was going to do what he could do. I'm not alone in God's world, and I can't do it all, but I must do my part. There's God work to be done this year that I can and must do. Number two, for all of us, we are not alone in God's world. We can't do it all, but we can and must do our part. And one more thought, and we'll unwrap this a little more. One more thought to write down. The end of God's plan is worth my effort and expense today. These will pop up a couple times, likely this morning. If you don't get it all written down, we'll get it. Give you another opportunity. The end of God's plan is worth my effort and expense today. Luke chapter 13, the words of Jesus himself, verse 32, I reach my goal. We have a little bit of a self-perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a sense, we get a look into his mind and read his heart. And in doing that, we find some direction for our heart, for our mind, and for our effort. Just a couple nuggets we want to bring out of this passage as we come to the communion table. Two words, fox, and number two, finish line. Okay, the first word is what? That's very good. We'll give you guys a... The first word is... Try the middle. Okay, how about we all try it together? The first word is... The second word is... I didn't know if I'd given you the second one. Yeah, that's pretty good. And the third word is... Well, there was no third word, but... Fox, finish line. That's really kind of one word meshed into two. Fox and finish line. What kind of fox? A loud fox and a little fox. What kind of fox? Loud fox and a little fox. Let's look at the loud and little fox. Jesus talks about in verse 32, go and tell that fox, the loud and little fox, that you're not very big in my sight. Jesus has caught the attention of both the political and religious leaders of the day, Herod and the Pharisees. It's kind of a curious moment. We'll unwrap some of that at a later date. But our focus is on Jesus' reaction to this warning from the Pharisees. If we notice Jesus' reaction, it will color and change the rest of our life from this very moment. Let's look a little more at this loud and little fox. His name is Herod, King Herod. And what we come to understand is that Jesus Christ is not afraid of a loud and little fox. And neither should we be afraid of a loud and little fox. You see, God's on the throne and his plan is in motion and it will be completed. Jesus called Herod a fox. This is not a compliment. This is really an insult, which makes it all very interesting because Jesus never sinned, and yet he just delivered a very stinging insult to King Herod. The fox is Herod Antipas. He's part of the not-so-great Herod family. Remember, one of the Herods responsible for the butcher of the babies at Bethlehem? This is, I believe, his son. They are all gruesome. This particular Herod, the one in front of us in our text, is the one responsible for the murder, the execution, the beheading of John the Baptist. Probably just months ahead of this moment. And the Pharisees are saying, you remember that guy? He wants to kill you. And this is Jesus' response to them and to Herod. He calls him a fox. Now, we think of a fox for a second, and all kinds of thoughts may go through your mind. A fox is often thought of as crafty, clever, with an element of deceit thrown in there. A fox is a predator. It doesn't just eat tofu and lettuce. It eats meat. But a fox is not known for being strong. You know, when I walk outside at night at our house, I pray about a number of things. I don't pray about a fox. My predators are a little bigger than that. But a fox, though it's a predator, is known for being more on the weak side. And that all plays into Jesus' conversation here. And as you step into this moment in history, into Jewish culture and Jewish conversation, if you wanted to praise someone and using the animal world, someone that was powerful and strong, you would call them a lion. Jesus is known as the Lion of Judah. Right? He's not known as the Fox of Judah. He's the Lion of Judah. If I wanted to give you a compliment in that culture of that day, I'd call you a lion. If I called you a fox, I'm saying you're weak and insignificant. And that's the point Jesus is making. And remember, the point of our focus this morning is all on his reaction to Herod's threat and the concern of others. Jesus is communicating to that world and our world that he has no intention of taking orders from a second-rate leader like Herod. Jesus has no intention of being sidelined and sidetracked by a loud and little fox. Loud is not necessarily right. We are in a culture today where loud is proud. And we are in a culture that prizes the clever insult. You know, forget the ideas. Can you out-insult the other person? And then here we read in our text, Jesus' conversation, all that, and like, what's going on? Is Jesus trying to be the coolest kid on the block? And the answer is absolutely not. He is also, what he was emphasizing is that his mission is clear. And he's not afraid of loud and little foxes. And he is not distracted by loud and little foxes. There is work to be done. And the work is worth the effort, the energy, and the expense. Jesus is not afraid of the loud and little fox, and he is not distracted from his mission. What is his mission? Verse 32, cast out demons, perform cures, today, tomorrow, and on. What kind of work did Jesus come to do? Essentially, kingdom work, which is a very broad title and perspective. And part of that is bringing salvation and offering salvation to us. And he gives us a picture here in our text, kind of a summary statement in a sense of two illustrations or two ways he defines that kingdom work, his mission. Delivering people from the clutches of the devil, and number two, delivering people from the plague of disease. Both those words, casting and curing, reflect an ongoing work, an ongoing action that continues to this day, continues in your life right now. Let's look at the first one, casting out demons. You have any stuff in your life that you're struggling with? Now, I ask that question and everyone's like, oh, yeah, me. We normally don't do that, right? We all have issues, habits, challenges, maybe even chains that we'd like to remove from our life in 2019. Every one of us, if we're honest. And the issue isn't, how does my chain compare to your chain? Wow, yours is worse than mine, so I don't have anything to worry about. We all have issues. We all have challenges. And we all need the chain-breaking power of Jesus Christ in our life. And guess what? It's available to every one of us. I may know your chain, I may not know your chain, but I can tell you this, the solution is in the power of Jesus Christ. And every one of us have that to plug into, and every one of us have that to share with everybody on the planet this coming year. Jesus delivered people from the clutches of the devil. And one of the ways that we saw this and we see this as we read through the Gospels is the casting out of demons, a sign of Jesus' ultimate triumph over the powers of hell. And I'm just going to throw this in here right now for free. This is what Jesus does. It's not what people do. There is not an office. There is not a gift of exorcism outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's a false prophet and false teaching. That's free. Jesus delivers people from the power of Satan. And that is good news for every one of us today. And number two, he delivers people from the plague of disease. And time and time and time again in the life and ministry of Jesus, we see that healing ministry. And you can say, well, that's just a story that his buddies made up, that his friends made up, that people made up to make Jesus look fantastic and godlike. But you read through the scriptures, you trace it out historically, his enemies did not deny that Jesus was a miracle-working person. In fact, kind of weird, but the Pharisees will say, yeah, but he did it in the power of the devil, which kind of will melt your brain trying to think on that one. But two ways that Jesus is defined, delivering people from the clutches of the devil, and number two, delivering people from the plague of disease. Does God heal supernaturally today? Yes. And we have, I think, seen some elements of that in our church over this last year. And at times he uses the medical world. At times he moves beyond the medical world. But he does that. But he does it in his power and in his plan. And we have seen people pass into eternity over this last year. And they were given the ultimate deliverance from the plague of disease. Let's not forget what death really is for the believer, for the Christian. It is something to be celebrated as we understand what God is working and God is doing. What Christ is doing is beginning to reverse an effect of the Genesis 3 fall. And it will be completely accomplished as we step into eternity. So go and tell that fox, that insignificant power, that I'm doing what I'm doing, casting and curing. And notice a couple things. This is what Jesus does, but notice how long he's committed to this work. I will, verse 32, reach my goal. How long is Jesus invested in this? How long is Jesus invested in your life? All the way through the finish line. And he calls us to have that finish line focus until the job is done. Let me ask you, did Jesus ever start something that he did not finish? Maybe phrase. Did Jesus ever start something that he could not finish? He's doing some stuff in our life that he will ultimately finish. But the work is in process and it is as good as done. But Jesus doesn't start stuff that he can't finish. And that's good news for every one of us. And that's good news for everyone on the planet. Now, if you ask me, what did I finish in 2018, I've got a list. And you could ask me, what did you not finish in 2018? Oh, shoot, the list got a little longer. Do you have a list like that? What did you not get done last year? You think, I can't think of anything. Well, let's take a quick tour through your house. Let's look in your garage. Let's look on your workbench. Let's look on your desk. How about your sewing machine? Yeah, my sewing machine's a mess. Yeah, if we're honest, half done, not done yet, would characterize all of us, right? which means there's a reason to get up in the morning and get after it. And there's some stuff to work on. But as we work on our stuff, let's be encouraged and find hope that God will finish everything that he has his fingerprints on. He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. Complete it. See, and that brings us to the end of verse 32 and even bleeding into verse 33. Today, tomorrow, on the third day, verse 32, I reach my goal. The third day. That third pops up again a little later in the passage. The third day, I got a hunch most of you are running to a certain thought right now. Day three. Before we get to that day three thought of what you're maybe thinking, let's look at the start. In, again, dropping into this culture, in this historical time frame, that comment on the third day, it was a very familiar expression throughout the Mideastern world that of completion, finishing the job, getting it done, completing the mission. What was Jesus' mission? Conquering the power of the devil, bringing cure, ultimately reversing the effect of the fall. That was his mission. And here we come over to the third day, perhaps a veiled reference to the resurrection. And as you would have dropped into the scene right here in Luke, as the reader, the listener to Jesus' words would have said, what's your mission? Oh, you're demonstrating power over the supernatural world, power over the physical world. Who are you? And all is finalized with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to bring all those together. The identity of Jesus Christ, his mission, and the demonstration that he truly is God the Son. Oh, Jesus, somebody's trying to kill you. You better get out of town. Herod's trying to kill you. Jesus' response, well, he came to die, right? Jesus came to die for us, but it will be on his terms and in his timing. Dying is the very reason he came. In his death, there is life for us. The identity, the mission, the reality of the resurrection. Give us hope. 2019 is the year that God is on the throne. His plan is in motion. And so, I ought to be in motion as well in my life. There is God work for me to do. There is God work for us to do. And we must do it. We are not alone on this planet, but we have a part in his work, and we must do our part. It will take some energy. It will take some work. There will be blood. There will be sweat. There will be tears. But the effort and the expense invested today will be worth it. Jesus Christ is going to reach his goal. May we be faithful to reach our goal. As we come to the communion table, the bread reminds us of the perfect life and the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood is a picture of the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so powerful it washes away the stain of our sin. Destroys its power, ultimately will destroy its presence It's what gives us hope. As we come to this table, this is a table for believers. It's for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And here's the invitation. Do you embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you understand that he is a person unique above all people? He not only said what was on his heart, he did what was in his heart. He demonstrated again and again his power over everything, including the power of death. He is alive today, and he is the one who will give you life. And as we deal with stuff in life, and as we have stuff that slows us down and hinders our walk with him, he will step in and clean up all that stuff in our life if we will come to him in repentance and confession. So here's our invitation. Every one of us need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Each and every one of us need to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ every day. So I would just invite you to bow your head, close your eyes, just your time with God. I'm going to ask those who are serving if they'll come at this time. This is just the moment for us to make sure we're ready to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in an appropriate way. It's only by grace, God's grace, that we can come and participate. It's by his grace that he invites us. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Are we taking care of what he calls us to take care of, embracing his forgiveness for all of eternity, but also for today?